Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. We'll go back to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2 this morning. I never want to stand up here behind the pulpit and preach without ever saying thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunities that we get here. I'm grateful for the opportunity to stand up and speak this morning. This is the last Sunday before Christmas. And my goal this morning is to make sure that all of us are focused and ready for what Christmas is actually all about, what the ladies sang about this morning. And so for the next few moments, let's forget about all of the things that we still have yet to do this week. Let's forget about all of the stuff that we have not done yet. And let's focus on Jesus this morning. Let's just take a fresh look at the Scriptures today and see what the Lord has for us from His Word. Luke chapter number 2, we'll read again through verse 20, starting at verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, and the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And this is where our text for this morning will again begin. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The pastor says it often, I love it when you find a reference to yourself in Scripture. This isn't just all people that were living in that time. That's all people, even us today. This message was a message of good tidings and great joy to us today. What happened on this day 2,000 years ago changed our lives today. Verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was told, as it was told unto them. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for the time we get to spend here at this season to think about your son and how he came and why he came. Lord, I pray that you would speak through your word this morning. Lord, use me as only your mouthpiece. Lord, we don't need anything that I have to say this morning. I don't need the thoughts that are in my own mind, in my own heart, but we need a word from you today. We need to hear from the throne of heaven. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we began this thought, and we'll continue it this week. We began looking at these shepherds. I said last week, I find it interesting that Scripture only focuses on the actual birth of Jesus for just a verse. But it spends the next verse 8 to verse 20. Talking about the shepherds and the message that was given to them and how much focus was put on them. And so we're going to continue talking about the shepherds. Last week we talked about how these shepherds, how they remained faithful to their job. And they were where they were supposed to be. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Then we talked about because they were where they were supposed to be, and because they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, and they received a message of hope to all mankind, a message that would change the world forever. They received this message. This message was given to some shepherds. Again, we talked about it last week. Shepherds represent you and I in Scripture. There's nothing special about a shepherd. There's nothing unique about a shepherd. It's just a simple person doing their job every single day, showing up, clocking in, being who they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do. They are a representation, a picture of you and me, you and I this morning. There's nothing special about them, but God chose to give them this message. We've also been entrusted with a message. God gave us a message, not on the day of his birth, but because of the day of his death and then the day of his resurrection. We were also given a message. But the difference between that message that the shepherds were given and the message that we were given to carry is our message came with a command. Theirs did not. Yet, when you look at the shepherds, they perfectly pictured the command that we were given. Because when the message that God gives you takes a hold in your heart and in your life, there's nothing you can do but share it. But spread it to everyone you come in contact with. If, just like these shepherds, the word of God, the word from God changed their life, they told everybody they came in contact with, hey, there's a message. Hey, there's a baby born in a manger. He's in Bethlehem right now. And this is the Messiah. This is the one we've been waiting for. Our message came to us, and our message is simply this. Hey, there's a Messiah that was born in Bethlehem. He laid in that manger. But then he went to a cross. He died on that cross for your sins and for mine. And he rose again 3 days later so that you and I can experience an eternal life. Now go tell everybody about it. So this is where we'll pick up this morning. We're going to look at not what they were given, but what they did with it. This week. Last week we looked at what they were given, the message that they were given. This week we're going to look at what they did with that message after it was given to them. And we'll continue the thought this morning, the shepherds that saw the Savior. The shepherds that saw the Savior. Again, last week we talked about how they remained faithful to their job, how they received a message. And this week we'll begin by talking about how they responded to the message. Verses 15 and 16, if you'll look at those again, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Once they received the message, they acted on that message. They went to find the Christ, the Messiah that had come. There was a message of hope given to them and an opportunity given to them to say, hey, you can go see this thing. You don't have to just take my word for it. You can go see it for yourself. Pastors told us this multiple times, and I'll echo this thought again this morning. If anything is said from this pulpit, you don't have to take my word for anything. You don't have to take our pastor's word for anything, Brother Jake or Brother Mike or Brother Joe or whoever's preaching. You don't have to take our word for anything. Go see it for yourself. It's in the pages of Scripture. You can see that for yourself. They put into action what they heard. Now understand this. They left what they were doing to do that, which means there was the possibility of something going wrong, which for a shepherd, something happening to one of your sheep is about the worst thing that could happen. That's your livelihood, and that's your income. That's how you're going to make a living. That's how you're going to provide for your family. It required them to step away from their comfort zone, what they were comfortable doing, in order to go see the thing that was going to change their life. God's will always take you out of your comfort zone. We talked about this a little bit last week. God's will always take you out of your comfort zone. Why? Because it forces you to have to rely on God to accomplish the task. If you don't have to rely on God for it, then in our fleshly moments, in the moments where life becomes to get too, it becomes too taxing for us, then we decide to take over. We decide to do it in our own strength. But what God calls us to do is to do it in His strength. I said earlier in my prayer, you don't need to hear anything from me. Nothing I have to say is important. What He has to say is important. What this book says is the most important thing. The message that He brings is what we need to pay attention to this morning. And God never promised that His will was going to be easy. He never promised that it would be comfortable. Look at the disciples. They were, all of them, martyred for the cause of Christ, except for John. They tried. He survived. Look at Paul. What happened with him? Timothy. It doesn't say in Scripture what happened to Timothy. History tells us that he was martyred as well. Titus. All of them. It's not supposed to be easy. It's joyful. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't trade this life for anything. Living for God is the best thing I can think of. God's given me everything that I have, above all that I could ever hope or think. God has given me everything. But it doesn't mean everything is going to be easy. There are difficult days. There are going to be days where you sit down to do your devotions in the morning or whenever you do them, and it just feels like you can't get through the ceiling. It feels like God is a million miles away. And you're sitting there begging God to give you something. But then there's days where you sit down, and before you even crack open the pages of Scripture, it seems like God is sitting right there in your lap. Like He's right there. That you could touch Him with very little effort. He hears you even on the bad days. He wants to speak to you even on the bad days. But you have to stick with it. You have to keep going. Not every day is going to be easy, but the shepherds were faithful. They were always there, doing what they were supposed to be doing. If you remain faithful, this season will pass. This difficulty, it will go away in time. This storm, it's going to end. The sun is going to shine again. You will see Him on the other side of this. And looking back on it, you will see exactly why He chose to put you in that moment. And the next time, it'll be a lot easier to rely on Him because you faced this. The response to the message is key. If my wife talked to me, but I never responded to her, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. Now, if you've known me for any length of time at all, you'll know that texting is one of my biggest vices. Being this, I've gotten texts and then responded 3 days later because that's when I remembered I got a text message. If you had the read receipts on or I had my read receipts on, you would see me keep messages unread until I was ready to act on them in that moment. Because if I read it, it's gone. If I get busy before I act on that message, it's gone. That's a dangerous thing. So my wife knows, if I have a thought, something that needs to get done, I will stop exactly what I'm doing in that moment to do what needs to be done and then come back to whatever I was doing before that. Because if I don't do it in that exact moment, I'm going to forget about it. My wife makes fun of me for it constantly. I have the memory of a goldfish. It's terrible. I don't remember anything if I let life keep going. I respond in the moment. But we see the shepherds did the very same thing. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They said, this is an important message. And this is something that is going to change the world. Let's go right now. Let's go right now. Let's go see this thing that's taking place right now. I could tell you stories. I'm sure Pastor and Ms. Christina and anyone who's been in other churches for any length of time could tell you stories of men and women who had come to them at some point and said, hey, don't make the same mistake I did. I remember when I was in New Jersey, I was in college, and I went to this church on a tour group, and I had an older gentleman. I don't know his name. I remember his face. I don't know who he was or what his position was there at the church, but he came to me and said, hey, whatever God has for you to do, do it. Don't get scared. Don't run away. That's what I did. When I was 21 years old, God called me to the ministry. God called me to the mission field, and I ran from it. And then at 60, I came back. I came back to church. But it feels like I missed something. It feels like I missed something. Don't make the same mistake that I did. When God calls you something, it doesn't have to be to preach. It doesn't have to be to the mission field. It doesn't have to be to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe God's calling you to witness to a coworker. Maybe God's saying, hey, you have a family member in need. Meet that need. Maybe God's saying, you have a family member that doesn't know me yet, but I want you to go talk to them about it. Listen, we all have family issues. We all have family drama. Every one of us does. My family, I have a lot of family members who have never stepped foot in church. But that doesn't mean that they don't need the Lord. It means they're not going to come to a church to get it. Somebody's going to have to go to them. They live right down the street. I could drive to their house. Why not me? I have that message. I have that hope. I have that calling on my life to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, which we all do. That's not a call to missions. That's a call to be a Christian. Share that. Our job is to give hope to people. And these shepherds went because there was hope at the end of that journey. We get to start our journey with hope. We're not going to find it. We're going to give it to somebody else that needs it. And whether that takes you across the sea or across the street, what does that matter? Take the message. Respond to it. Do something with it. Let's not go into heaven empty-handed, as we've heard it preached so many times, heard it sung so many times. I don't want to go in empty-handed. We have songs in our hymn book about it. Don't go in empty-handed. I've found that oftentimes, if you set a goal, and we always do, New Year's is just a couple weeks away. New Year's resolutions, they're coming. All of the gyms around us are getting excited right now. Goals are set. A delayed start date is set. Say, I'm going to start January 1st. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to get in shape. And then a couple weeks go by. We get a little bit busy. Okay, I'll start next week. Now, I'll start next week. Now, I'm going to start running. I'm going to start running next week. I remember just a few months ago, Brother Nathan Fry was here. And if you came for visitation to soul winning that Saturday morning, you'd see he came back in running clothes. Brother Nathan Fry is he's a big runner. I've talked to him about it a couple of times. And he runs a ridiculous distance. I don't know why people do that, okay? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know. But he does. He runs very far. He ran over 10 miles before he came here. Before some people were out of bed, he had gone out and started running. I said, you know what? I should start doing that. Yeah, that didn't happen. I ran like twice, okay? But I set a start date, and then my alarm clock went off, and I said, man, if I didn't do that today, I could sleep an extra 20, 30 minutes. So I didn't do it that day. And then I said, you know what? I should start doing that. And then I woke up, and it was 40 degrees outside. Now I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to start running next week. I'm going to get healthy next year. I'm going to get up earlier and I'm going to read my Bible every morning. I'm going to start my day with the Lord. Then that alarm goes off earlier than you're used to. And that snooze button is really tempting. We've all been there. Your flesh calls out louder than the Bible does at that moment in time. You hit that snooze button. And then by the time you finally get out of bed, well, I have to get dressed. I have to go to work right now or I'm going to be late. I'll read my Bible tonight. And then you have a hard day at work. Troubles come. The trials and temptations of life hit you wave after wave after wave. And by the time you get to sit down to it, you just want to check out for the day. You don't want to grab your Bible. You don't feel like you could talk to God even if you wanted to at that point. So I'll start tomorrow. These shepherds left immediately. They said, we need to go now. We need to go now. If you don't have a walk with God, start now. If you don't have a habit of witnessing, start now. If there's somebody in your family that needs the Lord, they need the Lord now. Well, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. Now is the time. Now is the opportunity. I have a note on my refrigerator that says procrastination is the assumption that God will give you another chance to do what he called you to do today. I don't know where that quote came from. I don't know who said it. I wrote it down on a note in my Bible, and now it's on my refrigerator. But it reminds me. There are things that God has given me the opportunity to do today that if I don't do it today, I may not get a chance to do it tomorrow. So let me challenge you with this morning. When you hear the call of God, however big or small you think it might be, act on it right now. Don't just receive that message and then do nothing with it. Receive that message and resolve, as soon as I hear the voice of God, I'm going to do what he has asked me to do. And often in those moments, it's a very fleeting moment. Have you ever had that prick in the back of your mind or in your heart to say, hey, give that person a track? They're not going to stand there all day waiting for you to give them a track. They may be just filling up their gas on the pump on the other side of you. That gas tank's going to get full in the next few minutes, maybe. And if they leave and you missed it, somebody didn't get the gospel. And you're saying, somebody else will do what I failed to do. Somebody else will do God's will because I didn't. Don't take that. Let God use you. When he wants to talk to you, let him use you. Understand, and I'm going to say this morning, for myself included, you are not qualified to do anything that God calls you to do. I am not qualified to do anything that God calls me to do. Because he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those that he's called. He will use you in spite of you so that he gets the glory and the honor for it. He will use you outside of the fact that you do make mistakes. I make mistakes. I have sinned. I have done things that have blasphemed the name of Christ, but in his love and his mercy and his grace and his tenderheartedness to me, he still wants to use me and he still wants to use you because he is a good God like that. He will call you to do something and it will take you out of your comfort zone. It will make you uncomfortable for just a moment in time. But that's okay, because when you're uncomfortable, when you're weak, he's strong. He gets the glory. So what is it? What is it that you're putting off this morning? Is it that steady walk with God, that faithful walk with God? Is it an area of involvement in the church that you have seen that there's a hole in and there's a need in? I'll tell you this for a fact. There is not a ministry leader in this church that would say no to getting more help. We all need more help. Everyone is stretched thin. Life happens to every single person. There's areas all over the place that you could jump in. So is there an area of involvement you want to be involved in, but you've been putting it off? Is there an area at home or maybe at work that you need to step up in? Maybe it's witnessing to a coworker, to a family member. And maybe you're saying that, you know, Brother Jake, I don't know the Lord at all this morning. I'm not familiar with that voice that you're talking about. Then he's definitely speaking to you this morning. If you're willing to admit that I don't know the Lord, then you're in a place where you can. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the Christmas gift that you want to get this year. If it's not something that's a part of your life already, I would say this, I would implore you that you need to come to the Lord this morning. Like I said, life is fleeting. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for us. If that's something you have even a little bit of doubt about, even a small question in the back of your mind, don't leave here this morning saying, I don't know for sure that if I died, and I'm not wishing anything on anybody, but if I died today, would I be face to face with my Savior? Would I see Him? If that answer isn't an immediate yes, don't leave here today without it, without that confirmation in your heart. You can know for sure. You can know 100% certain that you are on your way to heaven, that you are a child of God. You can. He wants you to. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All means everyone. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. He wants everybody. Every single person. Man, woman, adult, child. Doesn't matter. He loves you this morning. So what is it? Whatever it is for you. Whatever that area is, let it be today. God thought you important enough. He thought you valuable enough to speak to you. Let that take hold in your heart for a second. The God that created everything, the God that put the sun, moon, and stars in the sky, the God that freed the Israelites from Egypt in the Old Testament, the God that walked with the Hebrew children in the burning fiery furnace in Babylon, the God that was with David when he stood against Goliath, the God that toppled the walls of Jericho when Joshua and the children of Israel walked around him, the God that brought water from a rock, the God that created you, finds you valuable enough, finds so much value in you that He continues to speak to us, even in our sinful and unworthy state. Let that sink in this morning. You are valuable to God. No matter what anyone else thinks, you have worth to God. You are valuable to our Creator, and our Savior loves you this morning. They responded to the message. Lastly, this morning, they rejoiced because of that message. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. When we let God work, great things are going to happen. Great things can be used. God always comes through, above and beyond, every single time. One of the ministries that I enjoy being able to be a part of here is the music ministry. And as the song leader here, it is tempting for me to do the same songs over and over and over again because they're my favorite songs. He Leadeth Me is my favorite song in the hymn book. In fact, on those harder days that we talked about earlier, I have a instrumental version of that song on my phone, and I'll play it. And just like David and Saul, it helps. It calms my mind. It refocuses my heart on what is really important. He leadeth me. We sing another one, little is much when God is in it. God can take the little lunch that you have, and He can do amazing things with it. He can use you to feed a lot of hungry people. Listen, we all think little of ourselves. There is no harder critic in this church of me than me. My greatest enemy is the one I look at in the mirror every morning. But He can do a lot with just a little bit. If you'll give him your heart. However insignificant you feel it may be, he will take it. He will use it. And when he does, we need to be careful to give him all of the praise. Anything that is good that comes out of my life has nothing to do with me and everything to do with something that God did in me and through me. There was a man, his name is Russell Anderson, and he's a Christian. He used to speak at a lot of churches. He was also a multimillionaire. I think he died at the billion-dollar mark somewhere in that ballpark. Now, he said, God's not going to give this to everybody, but God gave this to me because he knew I'd give it to you. He died. He left his children some, of his grandchildren some, but he gave in his will to missionaries, to pastors that needed things. I watched him pull into a parking lot, and the pastor pulls in of that church right behind him in a rusted up beater car in northern Michigan. And he handed him the keys to his car and said, I have a young man coming. This is your car now. God can do a lot. God will give you things that he means for his work. He doesn't give me what I have to keep it to myself. He didn't give me the wife I have or the children I have to keep them for myself. He gave me those things so I can use them to glorify and honor him in whatever way that we can. He didn't give me, and Brother Joe and I have talked about this, when they went down to Florida, one of the things that he said they noticed is how valuable a dining room table or a kitchen table is. That's something that we've noticed as well. God gave us a beautiful house that I love. I love the neighborhood we're in, and I love having people over. I love using our house for the ministry. God has given us so much here in America. I don't know if you watch these videos too, but I do. I like to see some of the differences between how people in other countries live and how we live. The most affluent people in some of these other countries live in a standard lower than our lowest standard here. We have so much, and so often we do so little with it. Something that so many churches, including ours from time to time, something that they miss today, something that we miss today, is proper praise and worship and rejoicing in what the Lord has done. We go through song services, and we never crack a smile. We listen to a special, and it never touches our heart. It never moves us to the altar. It never moves us to raise a hand or to say amen or to shed a tear. If these songs that we hear never move you, you have lost sight of what's important, or you don't know him at all. What we do here is not just about a habit, a routine, a tradition. We don't sing these hymns just because we like how they sound. We sing them because there's a message in them. They are to gear our heart for the word of God that's going to be preached. We don't have people stand up here to sing specials just so we can put the spotlight on somebody on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. That's not what it's about. It's about lifting up the Lord and praising his name, being grateful to him for all that he's done, and putting the focus of our mind and our heart back on God. That's why it's important. That's why it's important that we have a Sunday morning service. It's why it's important that we have a Sunday night service. That's why it's important that we have a Wednesday night service. I love Wednesday nights. It is a time that I can come and hit that reset button for the week. This week it's going to be Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to it, because it's a time where I can come and refocus myself on God and say, Lord, it's been tough this week. There's been a couple tough weeks in these last few months, but God's still faithful. He's still good. He knows what's going on. Nothing I'm going through is a surprise to God. We don't spend enough time praising God. We don't spend enough time praising the Lord. If your devotions are just, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to shut my Bible and I'm going to go about my day. Your devotions are a habit. They are not the thing that's going to charge you for the day. If your devotions have never ended with just an awe of who God is, what He's done, if you've never just been so awestruck by the goodness and the graciousness and the merciful God that we serve, if you've never seen Him like that, you can. He wants to show you that. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. And that's why I do my devotions in the morning. Because I want to see His mercies before I see anything else. I want to talk to Him before I talk to anybody else. I love my wife and I love my kids, but God comes before them. I get up before they do, every single morning. In these last few weeks, I've had a few days off of work, which has been nice. But these have been some of the most consistent days that my children have ever seen me do my devotions. They know that Daddy reads his Bible. They know that Daddy prays, but they don't get to see it that often because I'm awake before they are. I leave the house before my family's awake. I have to go to work. So if I have to leave early, some of my coworkers found out recently what time I wake up, and they think I'm crazy. Because they'll wake up 20 minutes before work starts, get dressed, go to work, they're fine. Oh, I live 50 minutes away from where I work. Not the greatest thing, but it's fine. The Lord's using that job to provide for us. But that means I have to get up pretty early. And I don't say any of that to put the spotlight on myself, but I say it to say this. When you can get with God, aside from any other distraction, God's going to show you something. I love that quiet time. When my children are awake, again, I love my children. If you know my children, they're not quiet people. They're not. They're not calm most of the time. Yeah, some of them put on a pretty good show here sometimes. But every now and again, their true colors pop out. If you're Wesley, every now and again, the true colors just die down just a little bit. His true colors are glaringly obvious most of the time. But that's the thing. When I was coming up, I wanted the approval of my dad. I wanted my dad to see me. Wesley does the same thing. So I look up from my Bible reading this morning. There's Wesley standing right there. Not saying anything. Not really even blinking. Just staring at me. Just standing there. Completely quiet, dressed for church, great, love it. Just staring. That's an alarming thing to look up to. So, whatever you have to do to get alone with God, I understand. And I didn't understand it till recently. That's hard to do as a mom. I'm not a mom. Praise the Lord, I'm not a mom. I'm not a very good mom. I've done it a couple times recently. My wife is amazing and I don't pay her enough. Because when she wakes up, so does the entire house. And not because she's super loud in the morning, but they hear mom and dad's door open. And it's a free-for-all. They're going to get dressed for the day, and they're going to be on her. Hey, can I have my cup? Can I have a drink? Can I have something to eat this morning? They're not going to starve. It'll take them a couple extra minutes. But then she sits down to do her Bible time. Listen, this is something I had to do last week. I sat down to do my Bible time. Christina wasn't at the house. The children were. I had to go get noise-canceling headphones so I could focus. I'm not kidding. They're on my Bible right now at home. It blows my mind what some of you women do and how you have a walk with God. But it's so important. Look at any of the preachers from past days. Read the story of John Wesley and who he gives a credit to. His dad was a pastor. Multiple of his brothers ended up being pastors. But he gives the credit for that to his mother. Because like Spurgeon said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. A mom's influence and her ability to walk with God in front of her children is something that most men in here do not get to do. You serve a purpose. At home, doing what you're doing, and praise the Lord for the mothers in here that are doing that. That's something to be thankful for. But when we get a hold of God, when we spend time with God, when God spends time with us, that's something to be amazed by, to praise the Lord for. If your testimony, if you give a testimony in a Sunday night service and it's 5 minutes of story and 3 seconds of God, that's not a testimony, that's a spotlight. That's not what a testimony is. A testimony, I don't care what the backstory is. I don't care what happened to you. Tell me what God did. Tell me what the Lord's doing in your life. Hey, I had a need this week. You don't need to know what it is, but God met that need, and he met it in a big way. We had a need these last couple weeks, and this is an actual testimony from my life. We had a very large need these last couple weeks, and the Lord met it in a very big way. It doesn't matter to you what it was, because it's a personal thing for me, but it does show that God did something, that God is still moving, that he's still active. Our testimony ought to be focused on God and not our story. Listen, life happens to all of us. And when we start those testimonies with, oh, I went through this, and then that's when the competition starts. Oh, well, now I went through this, and they went through that, and this person went through this. No. Can we just focus on God for a little while? Can we just tell people how good God's been in our life, how faithful he is to me, and what he's done, and how he's provided, and how blessed I am to serve a God like the God I serve? It's all about him. And we don't spend enough time praising him or thanking him for what he's done in our lives. We really are blessed beyond measure this morning. When I was coming up and at community in Akron, before they were in the Carousel Dinner Theater, they were in another building at the Seventh-day Adventist Church now, and we had a song leader. His name was Roy Olney. I don't have any clue where he's at today. But he was our song leader. And when I was coming up, I remember the service. There was a baptism every single week. Every single week. And he would get up, and while Pastor O'Donnell was changing, and the person that was going to get baptized, or the people that were going to get baptized, they were getting changed into their baptism attire, he would come up and he would lead two hymns. And one of those hymns, every single week, was Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. After the third time of hearing that song, it lost all meaning to 7-year-old me. I didn't really understand it to begin with. But notice, I've led that song maybe 3 times since I started leading this ministry, because it got so beat to death for me. But it shouldn't. Listen to the words of that song. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. We need to refocus ourselves when we sing these hymns, when the specials are sung. Focus on those words. There's amazing words in the hymns that we sing. There's amazing words in the specials that are sung. Let the Lord prepare your heart for the services that follow them. And then when the word of God is spoken from the pulpit, let it touch your life. And respond to it. Do something with it. Don't let those words fall idle. God wants to do something with you. God wants to use you to do something. He wants to do something through your life. You are precious and valuable to God. And we show God that he is precious and valuable to us by our action. I've heard it said multiple times, love is a verb, not a noun. Love is an action. I can say that I love my wife. I can say that I love my kids. But if I don't do things that show them that I love them, do I really love them? Does my wife feel loved if I never care for her? if I never provide for her, if I never do anything special, if I never even take the time to listen to her or spend time with her, does she know that I love her? Sure, we stood up in this church and we took our vows. We said our vows in front of a bunch of people that I didn't know at the time, frankly. And I told her I loved her on that day. But just because I told her that I loved her 9 years ago, is that enough for the rest of our lives? Just because we tell God that we love him and we thank him for the day that we got saved, is that enough to tell him we love him for the rest of our lives? We ought to do something about it. Works don't get you saved, but I will show you my faith by my works. There's a lot of people right now that say that they're a Christian, but they don't live much like it. They don't worship much like it. And they don't sing, they don't witness, they don't spend time with God like he means a whole lot to them. Well, sure, on Sunday mornings it's easy. On Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, well, yeah, I can be a good Christian then, but how about at work? How about at school? How about with my family members? Am I a good Christian then? Am I living for God then? Does God see? What does God see when he sees me? What does God see when he sees you? Remember, the man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart, and we use that usually as an excuse to do things that, you know, and be what the Lord doesn't want us to be. Oh, well, God looks on the heart. If we're going to use that, it goes both ways. You can do things without being something. You can teach a class without being a good Christian, without spending time with God. You can go door-to-door visitation on a Saturday and have never spent time with God that week. You can say things and do things and act a certain way without having spent time with God. But God looks on the heart. So, we need to focus on being something before we do something. These shepherds were just ordinary men doing what they were supposed to do. And God took them right where they were at and did something amazing. God will take you right where you're at if you're honest with yourself. I mean, God will take you right where you are, and he'll do something amazing with you if you let him this morning. It's up to you. You don't have to let God use you. God is not going to make you do something for him. He will never twist your arm and make you serve him. He will not make you love him. He will not make you spend time with him. But you are benefited for doing so. So often, we sit down on Christmas morning, and all of the hustle and bustle has taken place. The wives have been done Christmas shopping since September, and the husbands are wrapping presents on Christmas Eve. That's how it goes in my house, at least. All of that's taking place, and the day is here. And we've forgotten so much about what this season is all about. We sit down. If we read the Bible at all, we read through Luke chapter 2 as fast as we possibly can. And then we get to the presents. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against Christmas presents. I'm not one of those guys. I love Christmas. This is my favorite, probably my second favorite holiday at this point. I love Christmas. I'm a Christmas guy. I have so many family traditions that I've told my wife about and things that I remember coming up that just, they were amazing. They were almost magical times when you think back on it. They were wonderful. But that's not the point of Christmas. That's not what this day is all about. My wife told Ellie this morning, it's weird that we get presents on somebody else's birthday. Christmas is all about the birth of our Savior. And we spend so little time thinking about him. When was the last time we just stood there and sang for the Lord on Christmas before we opened presents? I'll be honest, I've never done it. When was the last time we read through Luke chapter 2 and said, hey, what does that mean to you? What's your favorite part of that? Where does that impact your life? And talked about it for a second. Really took time to think about it, to chew on it, to mull it over. and give God the time that he deserves. He deserves everything that we have and more. We will never repay him for what he did and what he has done and what he has continued to do. But do we give him any time? On Christmas Day, do we give him any time? Miss Sam, you can come to the piano this morning. So where are you at today? Where are you? What is it that the Lord is trying to do with you? Maybe God is still trying to get a message through to you. Now would be a really good time to let him. Maybe you're serving God. Maybe you are active, and maybe you are tired. You're tired. I know what that feels like. But don't get so busy that we fail to slow down and stop for a second to be still and know that I am God. Don't forget to slow down and take time with him. Maybe you don't know him at all this morning. Maybe, yes, the story that we read this morning at Luke chapter 2, that's familiar. But maybe the Jesus that died on the cross and rose 3 days later, maybe he's not as familiar to you. That would be a pretty good Christmas gift to give yourself this year. The shepherds don't have to be the only one that got something special at Christmas time. They don't have to be the only one that saw something amazing from God at Christmas. You can too. So let me challenge you with this. Maybe this year, slow down. Step back from all of the things. Do yourself a favor and take Christmas time. Focus on God. Focus on what he did and what he gave. And praise him for it in the moment. Maybe let's, instead of giving out all of the presents, we just focus on giving our presents to God. Maybe we just be present with God for a few moments on Christmas Day. Today, like we said earlier, don't wait. If you're going to do it then, why not start today? Why not start today? Don't wait. If you put it off, probably won't happen. Let's stand together this morning. And Miss Sam begins to play. If the Lord's spoken to your heart this morning,